Reverence is honor and respect that is deeply felt and outwardly demonstrated. Because of the Lord God's awesome power and majesty, He is deserving of the highest level of reverence. Leviticus 19:30 says, "Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord." Because of this, we have decided to use reverence as one of the 7 ironclad Christian characteristics. So join us for this last podcast episode in this series as we continue our growth in the Bible and our daily walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Jesus Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me each week to help develop and grow your daily walk with Christ through biblical discussion, lessons, and teaching to help us to be a light to those we encounter in the world that we walk and live in.
Welcome back to another podcast episode. I am your host, David Marks, and I'm so glad that you're joining us. Just a quick announcement for those of you who may be subscribers, we are going to be doing a little bit different format coming up in the future. We're going to actually batch load all of our podcasts. So in the future, look for us to load maybe 3 to 5 episodes at a time, and it won't be on a weekly basis. We're going to try to do this to streamline the process and to give you better content at one time so that you can continue the series and not have to wait week to week. Granted, you will have to wait a little bit longer for me to get those put together, but it will give you episodes you can listen to in one sitting that will actually flow together. That being said, we're going to close out this series on the 7 ironclad Christian characteristics. We have went through all of the characteristics and tried to show how we should be loving and forgiving, but I do think it's important that we also remember there's a side of us that we should always have reverence. Sometimes that's a characteristic that people wouldn't describe Christians as having, sadly so. So let's take a look at the Bible and what it actually tells us as far as how we should respond with reverence as a Christian in the daily walk that we have. The Bible teaches us that reverence should be an automatic response of anyone and everyone who encounters the awesome power of the Lord God Almighty. Numbers 26 states, "Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them." 1 Chronicles 21:16 says, "And David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, and in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces." The idea of reverence for God started with God. In the Old Testament, God taught the Israelites how to show proper reverence by giving them hundreds of laws related to purity, holiness, and worship. Deuteronomy 5 goes through many of these. Sinful humanity does not know how to worship a holy God with reverence and awe, so He spelled it out for us. His presence dwelt with Israel in the Ark of the Covenant, and they were not to touch it as a matter of reverence. The Holies of Holies inside the tabernacle also required the highest level of reverence. Leviticus 16:2 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die, for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat." Whoever disobeyed God's command about entering the Holies of Holies died instantly. We have examples of this in Leviticus 22:9 that says, "They shall therefore keep my charge, lest they bear sin for it and die thereby when they profane it. I am the Lord who sanctified them." The purpose of such strict rules was to define holiness and impress upon mankind the necessity for reverence in the presence of the Lord. And it's not to be trifled with, it's not to be messed with as humanity. Now in the New Testament, reverence for God is demonstrated by our willingness to voluntarily die to self and obey His commands. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul was very clear that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we have to put ourselves away. And as I've said many times in this podcast, that we have to die out. We have to decrease and Christ has to increase. James also wrote in 2:12, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty." We are given freedom because we put ourselves down to death, and of course, we accept Christ and He lives in us. Jesus reminded us that we must properly reverence God. He taught the disciples to begin their prayers with, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's in Matthew 6, 19 through 13. And the prayer goes like this, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We learn that prayer as a young Christian, as a young child, and sometimes we just repeat the words and don't really understand what we're saying. Hallowed means set apart as holy. In other words, our Father, whose name is set apart to be holy. We are to treat the name of God with reverence. Many in today's world take God's name and use it in vain. This is something that's becoming more and more popular. When I was growing up, this was something that you did not do, and it would, of course, get you a whipping or a good mouth washing out with soap if you did. But even professing Christians sometimes do this and don't understand what they're doing. We use the exclamation OMG, the acronym, all the time. You know, it's just tossed around as though it were no more significant than the word wow. We may not intend to be irreverent when we do this, but when we invoke His name in casual conversations and in acronyms, we're being irreverent. Another way we demonstrate reverence for God is by the way that we live. Sometimes we're the only Bible that people read, and that's important to keep in mind. Those with the right understanding of God's nature also understands His wrath. We show reverence by taking seriously His hatred of sin and the coming judgment on those who refuse to repent. This can be found in Colossians 3:6, when it says, "On account of these, the wrath of God is coming." Also, Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from the heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." We pursue holiness because He is holy. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says, "But as He who called you is holy, ye also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy." When we take up the mantle of Christian, when we, to use the phrase of the podcast, bear our cross, then we have to take up the name of Jesus. Now, we also know something, that we are never going to be perfect. And I want to make something clear here. The Bible is very clear that we are not ever going to be sinless until we lay this body down. That is because there is a spiritual warfare taking place in our own body. See, when we accept Christ, and as Paul wrote in Galatians 2, that we are to, of course, live because Christ lives in us. However, we still dwell in this fleshly tabernacle. This building that we have is still made of sin. It's still part of the sinful world, and we have to war against that. Now, of course, you've always heard this analogy, many of us have, that the dog that you feed the most is the one that's going to be the biggest and the strongest. That's why Paul instructed us to feed the spiritual dog, to feed the spiritual dog that's going to be able to ward off and fight against that fleshly dog. Now, I know that may be a terrible analogy. Number one, most of you who've listened for a little bit of time know that I love dogs, and so I guess that's a good analogy for me to use. But see, we pursue holiness because God is holy. Reverent people desire to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live in self-control, upright and godly lives in this present age. Now, Titus 2:12 says, "Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." For many of you who live as a Christian in today's world, you know that may be very hard to do sometimes. We have to have an extra dose of dog food to feed that spiritual dog, because the world that we live in, number one, doesn't like Christianity very much. And number two, we know that the world is going to throw every temptation it can at us. Just think 100 years ago, our grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, for some of you probably listening, didn't have to worry about raising their children or themselves fighting a warfare with a device in their hand. But we do today. And we know that in this spiritual warfare battlefield that we're in, that these devices sometimes can be very toxic. To a Christian, you have to ward off the evil things that may come just by your cell phone. Now, granted, the phone can be great. It can be very, very good. You can have things on there that are reference material. You can have Bible studies. And of course, you can always do like me and get tied up in some kind of funny video. However, you have to be very cautious. And Mom and Dad, this is for you especially because as time progresses on and on, technology gets better and better, children and young Christians are going to be exposed to more and more dangers of evil through a device. Now, I'm not anti-device. I love the device. You're listening to a podcast, most likely on your device. But as believers in Christ, we have to guard our heart. We have to guard the spiritual dog that we have, and we have to protect it from that fleshly dog wanting to rise up and fight. So we are to try in the best we can in the present age that we live in to, of course, live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life. And I promise you, I battle that as much as you do. We also show reverence for God by truly worshiping Him. Jesus said that the Father is seeking people who will learn to worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24 said, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. True worship is not about our favorite song, and it's not just confined to an emotional experience or a tingly feeling. True worship is a lifestyle. We worship in spirit when our hearts are abandoned before the Lord, willing to obey everything He has said. We worship in truth when our minds are engaged and filled with biblical understanding of God's nature. To worship God is to know Him and serve Him. To worship Him the way He deserves to be worshiped, we must align our hearts with His and seek and obey Him. Luke 6:46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" So let me give you an example of this. In the world that we live in this current age, as it's written in Titus, this present age, we're told a lot of times there's many pathways to heaven. There's going to be those who you encounter who would tell you that, well, Jesus might be a way, but He's not the way. As a Christian, we understand that there is only the truth, which is Jesus Christ. There is only the way, which is Jesus Christ. We cannot accept any other way except through Jesus to the Father. Period. It's pretty clear. It's biblically text. Also, we can't compromise what the Bible says. We can have our opinions. I have mine. You have yours. But that means nothing. The Bible is God's holy word. And as I've heard said many times by my pastor, he says that you have an opinion, I have an opinion, but what matters is God's opinion, which is in the Bible. Well, the world wants to tell us that we are wrong or that we are hateful or that we are terrible people because we believe in the Bible strictly. But the Bible's truth. Jesus was truth, and Jesus was the Son of God. He's the only way. Think about it like this. If anyone tells you that Jesus was not God, that's not a Christian. Christianity believes and Christianity holds to the doctrine, and if we're going to have true reverence for God, we accept that Jesus Christ was God. He was part of the Godhead, no compromise. It's something that maybe our fleshly minds cannot understand sometimes, but it's something that we cannot compromise. He is Lord. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Jesus is God. Reverence for God is a quality missing in much of what is masquerading today as Christianity. Sadly enough, there are many, many who sit in church pews who do not reverence God. They don't reverence family, which He tells us to do. You know, dads, if you're out there and you're not a good dad and you call yourself a Christian, step up to the plate and change what you're doing and hit that home run. Be a responsible father. Love your family, protect your family, and teach them the ways of God. Teach them biblical principles. Moms and wives, if you're a terrible mother or a terrible wife, again, the same thing applies to you as a challenge. Get in this world and be a better quality Christian by serving God and what He commands us to do. And children, if you're a child and you disobey your parents and you dishonor your parents, well, guess what? You're not fulfilling the reverence for God because God tells you to obey your parents. He also tells you to honor thy father and thy mother. And to not honor them is to show a lack of reverence for God. Now, the world's not going to reverence God, and we know that. We know that we fight an enemy. We know who the king of this world is, and he hates it when we reverence God. Instead of the kind of reverence we see demonstrated through the Bible, modern Christianity has adopted a Jesus is my buddy attitude that grossly downplays the holiness and the power and the righteousness of our sovereign King and Creator. Reverence does not refer to God as the big guy in the sky or the man upstairs. We know that Him to be this powerful being that created even the laminin that holds our cells together, and that's why it's important. I want to close out the podcast with a story from Luke 23. There's something we have to remember. If we're going to truly have reverence towards God, we have to have a godly fear in our life. Jesus was being crucified, and there were two malefactors, is what the New Testament says in the King James Version, but there are two thieves on the cross on each side. The thieves on the cross begin to rebuke Him. Now, after a small amount of time, one of the thieves realizes who Jesus was, and he rebuked the other thief for his irreverence. "Do you not fear God?" he said to the other thief, when he turned to Jesus and honored Him as King and Lord. Luke 23:40-42 says, "But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has not done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" Now remember what happens here, because Jesus then tells him, "You will be with me in paradise today." That's important to remember, because we are to have a truly honorable reverence to God. And sometimes that means we have to have godly fear. We have to understand He is the Creator of the universe, and that one day, no matter if it's when He comes back or we lay down our life by taking our last breath, we're going to come in the all presence of God, some to reward and some, of course, to punishment. Thank you for joining us for this series. I hope that you learned something. Always remember to go to bearhiscross.com. Leave me comments. You can follow us on Facebook also, and you can find those links on our website or by searching facebook.com, Bear His Cross. Now remember, in our next few series coming up, we are actually going to take a little bit of time and put some together so that we can batch load our podcast. That way you can enjoy rolling through several episodes one at a time. Until next time, may God richly bless you in the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. You can always go to bearhiscross.com, where you can subscribe to our email newsletter or find Bear His Cross on your favorite podcast provider. And once you do, please be sure to leave a review so others know what you think about this podcast.